We are doing the Ein Yaakov. We're up to Yud Tet Amud Bet. On the pages of the Ein Yaakov, it's page Nun Amud Bet, page 100. And we're at the top of the page in the Gemara, Yud Tet Amud Bet. The Gemara is taking us to a very interesting conversation, a conversation that's relevant to Halacha. And that is, what happens when there is a conflict between a person's basic dignity and the mitzvah? And the Talmud tells us that when it comes to our rabbinic mitzvah, and even sometimes biblical mitzvot, the Torah tells us that there will be instances where the Torah wants us to honor a person's dignity. For example, where do we derive this concept from? If a Kohen loses his relative, father, mother, sister, brother, son, daughter, wife, so the Torah says, even though he has a biblical prohibition against becoming defiled to bury, becoming defiled with a dead person, for those relatives, he should become defiled. And we rule that he must become defiled. It is part of the honor he owes them. Even if someone else could take care of the burial, he must be one of those that carry the disease. And within that parsha, it repeats, with regard to his sister, it says, and for her he shall become defiled. And the Torah repeats a second time, for her he shall become defiled. And from here we derive that the Torah was indicating not only for her. When the Torah said for her, the Torah was stressing he shall become defiled. There will be another instance where he shall become defiled. And what is that instance? So the Talmud works out that that instance is talking about a Kohen Gadol, the high priest. And he is a Nazir. So he has two major prohibitions against becoming defiled. And Yom Kippur is coming up. And all the Jewish people have their eyes on him to represent them before God. And he's walking down some alleyway. He's walking in the desert. And he bumps into a corpse. He sees a corpse at a distance. He looks. And he sees it's that new guy who came to town last week. No one knows who he is. No one knows where he came from. He spent his whole week in the bar. And he had no ID on him. Everyone knows the bartender came to him after a whole week of his getting drunk, said to him, buddy, pay up your bill. The guy says, I don't have any money. He tells him, well, who knows you around here? No one knows me around here. What relatives do you have nearby? No relatives for the next 100 miles. The whole town knows that the guy says there's no one around that knows him. He says he's been traveling for ages, and he has no relatives or friends around, and he's a bum. Doesn't go to shul, doesn't do much, he spends his day in the bar. And now the Kohen Gadol sees this body lying there, the guy dropped dead, and he's a met mitzvah. He's a deceased who has no relatives who will take care of him. Says the Torah, even though he's the high priest, and he is a Nazir. And Yom Kippur is coming up, and if he takes care of that body, well, all of the Jewish people will have to find another representative to represent them on the highest, the holiest day of the year. Nonetheless, says the Torah, he must go forward, take that body, take care of it, and bury it. And from here we derive the concept of kvod hamet, the responsibility of honoring the deceased, and we also derive the concept of kvod hachai. If this is how much we have to honor the deceased, certainly we have to honor the living. So the Torah teaches us that there are instances where the Torah tells us a person must forego a mitzvah for the sake of dignity. Let's say a person is an elder, and he usually doesn't take his own garbage cans. He has his children do it. He has his servants do it. It's beneath his dignity. He's the chief rabbi of Israel. So he's not the one to bring in his garbage cans when they fly out into the street. And he's walking in the street, and he sees his neighbor's garbage cans flying out onto the street. So now he has a biblical mitzvah of returning someone's lost object. The Torah tells us, if it's not within his dignity, if he wouldn't do it for himself, he shouldn't do things that are beneath his dignity, even at the expense of returning someone else's lost item. So there are situations where the Torah tells us that one has to maintain dignity, even at the expense of a mitzvah. Wherever the Torah tells us that, so we have that rule. What happens where the Torah does not tell us that? The Torah gives us a prohibition. We're not allowed to wear a garment that has wool and linen together within that garment. So you buy a Hugo Boss suit, you have to have it checked out. There are special laboratories that check out for shatness. Hugo Boss was found to have a lot of suits with shatness. Sometimes for some money, you could get the shatness out. We once had a donation here at the Machon. A guy sent me suits, $1,000 suits. Literally, $1,000 suits. So I gave out the suits to the different guys. And I told them, wait a second, these are expensive suits. You have to check for shatness. Hugo Boss, even though he's Jewish, maybe he didn't know he has to check his suits for shatness. The guy who donated, not Hugo Boss. The guy who donated, even though he's Jewish, he might not know that he has to check his suits for shatness. So the guys really went and checked their suits for shatness, and they had shatness. And the shatness laboratory, I think, took like 150 shekel, because the whole lining over here, the whole lapel, was wool and linen mixed together. And they took like 100, 150 shekel to replace it. But for 150 shekel, he got a $1,000 suit. It was still a good deal. Yeah. So sometimes people aren't aware of it. So what happens if a person is wearing a garment and it has shatness? He's wearing a robe. Back in the time of the Talmud, they didn't wear underwear. They didn't wear undergarments. Think of the heat of the Middle East. So all they'd wear is this long robe. And they tie it in the middle, because we know if a person isn't wearing undergarments, then being that beneath his garments there's no separation between the heart and the private parts, he can't make blessings, he can't learn Torah. So they'd wear a gartel, they'd wear a belt in the middle that divided between their hearts and their upper body and their lower body. So this guy is walking in the street, he's wearing his robe, and his friend sees that that's a robe they were selling downtown. He knows that robe. He didn't buy it because he saw it was made of wool and linen together. Now, he knows that if he tells the guy, then the guy knows that every second he's wearing it, he's transgressing. Here, our Gemara teaches us the concept that wearing a garment, halachically, is considered an act. Meaning sometimes we say there are things that are an inactive sin. But the act of being clothed, every minute that we're wearing a garment, halachically, it's considered as though we are doing the act of wearing the garment. That's called the lav sheyesh bo maase. It's considered as though we did an action. That needs definition, but that's what we see from this Gemara that we're about to learn. So our Gemara discusses the following. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda quoted Rav. Hamotze kilayim bevigdo. If someone discovers kilayim in his garment, he discovers he's wearing shatnez. The Torah says, uveget kilayim shatnez lo yale alecha. We are prohibited from wearing a garment that has a mix of wool and linen in that garment. So he's walking down the street, and his friend tells him, where'd you get that robe from? I wanted the exact robe. And he says, well, I got it downtown. So his friend says, at that store? That store, the garments all have shatnez, they have wool and linen. Look at the label. So the guy picks up the garment, looks at the label. He says, you're right, it has wool and linen. Says the halacha, poshetan, he must remove that garment, afilu bashuk, even in the middle of the marketplace. My taima, why? Because King Solomon taught us, "En chokma, ve'en tvuna, ve'en itza le'neged Hashem." When a person's actions are in contradiction with God's commandments, then we don't speak about wisdom, understanding, let's figure out advice, let's figure something out. No. Once there's a situation where the person is desecrating God's name, he's an act of transgression of a mitzvah, he has to be willing to forgo even his dignity for the sake of the performance of the mitzvah. Kol makom sheyesh chilul Hashem. In any situation where there's a desecration of God's name, en cholkin kavod l'rab, then even if the person's a rabbi, we say there's no room for your honor. God's honor comes first. So this is the sugiya. The Ein Yaakov is going to skip the rest of the sugiya. The Talmud discusses when do we say kavod abriot? How important is it the dignity of humanity? Now we say it with regard to rabbinic mitzvot. Person goes to the bathroom and there's no cut toilet paper in the bathroom. So that's rabbinic at best, the prohibition of cutting toilet paper. So the halacha says, he doesn't have to call out and say, hey, can anyone bring me some cut toilet paper? He doesn't have to shame himself. He could tear the toilet paper and use the toilet paper in the bathroom. Of course, if he notices it before he goes to the bathroom, so then he should get cut toilet paper. But now that he's in a compromised position, so then the halacha says, out of respect, out of the respect for human dignity, the rabbi said, we forgo this rabbinic institution. And so too, with regard to other mitzvot, we say, kvod abriyot. Now, the basic human dignity, when it's in contradiction with the rabbinic mitzvah, So then many times, most times, the rabbis would say, we'll forego our mitzvah for the sake of human dignity. When it's in contradiction with a biblical mitzvah, with a mitzvah d'oraita, then we say, en chokhmah ven tvuna ven etza l'neged Hashem. Don't try to be so wise, Alec. Don't try to be too smart. God said, do it this way. This is the way to do it. And there are exceptions, but those are the exceptions that the Torah specifically says. Over here, the concept of human dignity or the concept of the honor of the deceased, they come first.
And the Shabbat Avedra, returning the lost object, is like your neighbor's garbage cans, are biblical or
biblical? Biblical, but the Torah says it. The Torah says, if you kitirech hamol sonacha. Not that pasuk, it says, Kitifga, chamol sonacha, shol sonacha, o chamoro toe, hashev teshivenu lo. The Torah says, v'italam tamehim, will you disregard them? Will you ignore them? No, give them back. So our sages say, why did the Torah word it that way? When you encounter a person's lost object, shall you ignore it? No, give it back. Why does the Torah begin with a question, shall you ignore it? And you will ignore it, the Torah says, in a questioning tone. So the Torah said it that way to teach us that sometimes, yeah, you should ignore it. The Torah words it, when you encounter their lost object and you shall ignore it, you shall return it. So the "and you shall ignore it" is ordinarily read as a question. And you shall ignore it? No, return it. Return it to the person. But the Torah worded it that way to teach us, "Pamim shata mitalem." There are times that you should ignore it. What are those times? Either, as we said, if it's not within a person's dignity, he wouldn't do it for himself. Or sometimes the monetary value of his time is more than the monetary value of the lost object. You're on your way to work and you have an important meeting and you see a lost pen on the bus. You're going to sit down and spend the time for that lost pen. Well, your time is worth much more than that. So the Torah says, no, don't stop your life to take care of that pen, because right now your time is very important. So that's one example. There are other instances where the Torah tells us that you can forgo a mitzvah. That's where the Torah tells us that. Otherwise, we go with this rule. Amal le Rav Papa le Abaye. Rav Papa said to Abaye, Ma'ishna rishonim de mitrach shlu nisa. Ma'ishna nan de lo mitrach shla nisa. How come the earlier generations they had miracles and we don't? Im shum tenuye, if it's because of learning, so I've learned much more than some of my predecessors. And if my predecessors would just take off one shoe in prayer, they'd have rain, and we kill ourselves begging for rain, and it's as though no one's listening to us. How come? They could just take off a shoe, and it would come pouring down, and we, Rav Papa says to Abaye, it's as though no one's taking notice of us, and I've learned some things better than my predecessors. And his answer, we don't have time to read it inside, I want you guys to be on time to Aravit. His answer is that the earlier generations, they killed themselves for the sanctity of God's name. And we, our own honor comes first in certain respects. We're not swift enough to perform this. And that's Bezachem what we'll learn next week and understand it deeper. What does that mean? We're talking about Abaye and Rava. We're talking about the chiefs of the Talmud. And Abaye says this about himself. He says, we don't sanctify God's name enough. What does that mean? So, Bezalel Shem, next week, we'll pick up over here.